Hi, welcome to the Berry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April. Jason and Natalie were not able to join us today, but we have one of our most favorite humans on the planet joining us today, Miss Suzanne, one gastric girl. Hi, friend.
Hello. Hi, April. It's so wonderful to be here. I am so excited about today's podcast.
I am too. And I am even more excited because I had the opportunity to meet you in person at the recent Bariatric Society retreat. And while I was not able to attend your session, I have only heard the most amazing things about what you delivered at retreat. People's lives were changed by that seminar that you gave today, gave at that retreat. You just have such a powerful ability to connect with people, especially who are on the bariatric journey, and really help them focus and adjust and change their mindset. You have this, I don't know how you do it. It's a gift. It is truly a gift. But
thank you. Thank you so much. That's wonderful to hear.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
And, you know, and our conversation today is really in your area of expertise. It's all about how we can stay positive when things go wrong. Right. We all know that the holidays are heavy. We've got these layers of just general life and then our bariatric life and then the holidays. And then one little thing added onto that can really just blow our whole day up. So we're very excited to kind of deep dive into this mindset work and really understand what we can do to keep our mindset positive when things just don't go to plan. So that will kind of be the meat of our conversation today.
Sure. Yeah, that's definitely exciting and important conversation to have.
Yes, yes. And before we dive into that, I would love to just give you the floor to introduce yourself to our friends and followers, our listeners, or our watchers who have never met you before. So if you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about who you are as a professional and then also your bariatric story.
Sure, definitely. Well, hello, everybody. I am so happy to be here today. My full name is Suzanne Razak. I often just refer to myself as Suzanne because I go one of those funny little, you know, weird spelling last names. Just call me Suzanne. I'm known as the gastric girl. And I am a certified coach. I am a digital course creator. And so what I do is I teach post and pre-bariatric patients how to get through this whole journey with some success tips so that their journey can be as wonderful as mine has been. And I had a few bumps along the way, and I teach those too, but it's really about how to get the absolute best out of your journey. And that's what I teach. And I do have my own weight loss surgery. Was 4 years ago on Thanksgiving Day. So I just had my surgiversary.
Congratulations. That's a big day.
4 years ago. And the story behind that, I was 44 and I had two strokes, not just one. No, that's not me. I have to go ahead and have two strokes. I'm pretty much on death's door. And I had asthma, so I literally couldn't go up a flight of stairs. So, you know, I was hiding behind that for the exercise piece, and I just was 325 pounds. And the doctor said to me, if you want to see your daughter graduate in 5 years, you have to do something, not all the things we've done before, something different. And so that's when I looked at surgery. And so I decided to have the VSG. I had it on Thanksgiving Day for two particular reasons. But after that, I lost 130 pounds and I'm living like my best life ever. But I did pick Thanksgiving Day for two reasons. One, it was available for my surgery date because nobody else wanted it. Two, because I made a commitment to change my relationship with food. And I feel like Thanksgiving Day is food's birthday in America. And I wanted to change my relationship with food on that day. So while everybody else was eating, I knew I was changing my life in that surgery theater. And it worked. I made a commitment that day to have a different relationship with food. And it has been the best decision I have ever made.
I am head to toe goosebumps. I did not understand your story at that level before this very moment. Oh, what a powerful story on so many different levels.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm. And like, and you are so correct. I mean, Thanksgiving is like, that's the food holiday. It is, right? I mean, even like the historical roots are based on the gathering of food, right? Gathering around,
a harvest feast.
Mm-hmm. So to choose that day, what a powerful connection to your why every single time. Not only that celebration comes around, but just every day, right? Like I did this to have a different relationship with food. That is front and center of your life.
Definitely. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And I'm sorry. And I know this is not related to weight loss surgery. You had surgery when you were 44 and that was 4 years ago.
Yes.
Did they also inject you with some like Benjamin Button aging backward? I mean, you are telling me, my friend, you are 48 years old.
I am. And I said, I said to my husband recently, "Oh, I better get my stuff together by in 2 years' time because that's the big one."
Oh my friends, I encourage you to stop listening to this podcast. Go log on to our YouTube channel and just watch this because you will not believe that this woman is 48 years old. Oh my, well, apparently I'm doing everything that you're doing, Suzanne, because if I can look as good as you at 48, I will be living my best life.
Thank you, April.
Lord, good. Oh my God, I'm like fangirling over here on so many different levels. Good Lord. Well, now I just love you even more. All right, my friend. Well, thank you very much for sharing your very powerful story with us. I mean, clearly, yes, you have had a lot of success. And what we have always appreciated about you is there is no fluff. There is no smoke and mirrors. It is very much, this is the path. Here are your valleys and peaks, and here are your bumps, and here's how you, you know, deftly navigate them. And what we appreciate about your teaching style or your methods or what you have come to share with our community is that there are some right ways of doing things, and it's not necessarily one single path, but, you know, we love how you say, here is something, an obstacle that you're going to encounter. Here are two or three ways that you can overcome it. Pick the way that's going to work best for you, but just know you're going to hit this and here's how you can move beyond it. Which is powerful because everybody has a different recipe for success. We all want to get to the same destination, but our paths are going to be a little bit different. And to know that we can choose the option that's best for us to find success can be really powerful. Cause I think that all or nothing mindset, thinking is ingrained in so many of us. And it's like, oh, I got to do it this way or this way alone, or else it just isn't going to work. And that's simply not true.
Yeah. You have to find the way that works for you. And it's based on our learning styles. And as teachers, you know, we know that there's students that have a particular learning style. Well, you teach to that learning style and that student is going to fly. Well, we're all students, but we're just students of life.
Yes. We're all trying to figure out how this bariatric journey is going to work for us. And if we don't try what other people are suggesting, or if we don't look at how other people are doing it, we might not find that perfect pathway for us.
That's right.
Teacher speak just gets right to my soul. Oh, goodness. All right, my friend. Well, shall we dive into our conversation about what we do when things go wrong?
I am ready.
All right, let's do it. So first things first, we always like to start off our conversation kind of making sure that we're speaking the same language. So when we say, how do we stay positive when things go wrong, right? We're just talking about when anything doesn't happen to plan.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So in our days, this could be like, you know, something, a curveball was thrown our way at work, or we step on the scale and it hasn't moved or it's up a little bit. Maybe we run into some traffic, we get some sad news, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a big catastrophic event that doesn't go as we thought. It could just be something as simple as the coffee got burned or something spilled, right?
Yeah. It can be a very small event and it can throw your day. Yeah.
Oh my God, right? We have all been there. And especially, I think, along the bariatric journey, there's so many things that just happen throughout life that can throw our day. But if we start off the day by stepping on the scale, that can instantly take us to a place that is just not good for us, right?
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And a lot of us start the day by stepping on the scale, which is something that some of us might want to look at.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So what is normally the first reaction that kind of comes up in humans when something doesn't go to plan? Where does our brain go?
Well, usually our mindset is set to a habit of, oh no, that's doom, gloom. I'm just going to just give up. It's not working. I have failed.
Yes, right. It's that all or nothing mindset. It's like, oh, well, I've already blown the day, or, well, that's a signal from the universe that this day is just done. And for a lot of us, it's our permission to just kind of check out from the rest of the day, right?
Yes. Or the week, or the month.
Or the year. I've done that before too.
Yes. It can really throw you.
It absolutely can. And why is this? Why do you think our brains are wired to do that?
Okay. So there's two reasons. We haven't prepared properly is one, and we are on autopilot on our habit loop, which is the second one. So I'm going to talk about this habit loop first. So for so many years, when we were bigger, we had a lot of negativity in our lives. We had a lot of things not go right, even like buying clothing and it doesn't fit. Doing that over and over, year after year, brings you into a habit loop that's negative. And then it's the idea that you are not having success. So we're on a habit loop that has like an input. We're like a computer. So our input is, if we do some task and it's successful, we've won. If we do a task and it's not successful, not only have we lost, but we've failed. We only tend to have those two tracks of our habits, and we have to get out of that and break that habit loop of thinking that way of all or nothing, that a task that hasn't gone to plan means that we've failed and that we should give up. So we have to, first of all, break that habit loop and understand where that comes from. And it comes from looking back at when you gain the weight. It comes from trauma in the back of your life. It comes from food, memories, and addictions and associations. So these are tough things to break, but you can break them. But it takes a little bit of thinking of doing that and understanding, oh yeah, I am in this habit of always believing that it's my fault, or it's always believing that you're not going to be able to turn it around and make a success. So breaking that habit loop is first. And then the second thing is that we haven't prepared properly. We sometimes only prepare for success. And when I say that, I mean minimal success. We don't prepare for failure. We don't prepare for the worst case scenario. And if we did, things look very, very differently. And I can give you an example.
Okay.
All right. Tell me something that you're going to do tomorrow that you're planning to do tomorrow, April.
I'm planning to put my garland up on my railing.
Okay. Let's take that very simple task, putting your garland up on your railing. So you think through the success and failure of that. So first of all, the failure is you might not be able to find it, right? We all know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So if that was the absolute worst case scenario, we could go out and we could buy another one, right?
Yeah.
If you do have the garland and you put it on and the nail breaks, and you have to think about something else. What's the worst thing that you could do? You have to go to Home Depot. You have to get another nail or a screw, and you're going to fix it. So we've thought through the actually worst case scenario. But then the other thing that you have to be able to do is, if that worst case scenario happens, have a plan for that. Say, yes, I am going to go to Home Depot and fix this and fix that. The likelihood is everything is going to go to plan. And we tend to plan for just it happening the way we think it's going to happen. We mm-hmm. think because we had bariatric surgery, every time we go on the scale, it's going to keep going down, or we're not going to burn the coffee because we've made it 400,000 times, you know? And yes. so we have to think about, well, why could it go wrong? How are we going to deal with it if it does? But there is another side to this as well, is we only plan for minimal success. And when I say that is because we don't plan for huge successes. So say if somebody has a business and their first product is a hit, mm-hmm. like a really big hit, they're very, very rarely prepared right there and then to scale up. So we actually have to train ourselves to plan for worst case scenarios and amazing success, because a lot of people experience success and then they don't know what to do with it. And you have to be able to take that and take it to the next level so you fly and you have super success. So when you do step on the scale and it is going the right way, how can you step up your game to make it go even faster, even longer term? If you have a success with recipes that you're making, how can you improve on that, right? Mm-hmm. If it's a worst case scenario, how can you fix that? And those new things become a habit. So that replaces your old habit thinking of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And instead they say, okay, if this isn't going to go to plan, I already have a plan for that.
For both. For both situations.
Yeah. And sometimes if you do that, finding the success solution is how you fix the negativity anyway. So really planning it out and saying to your intention for the day is to have success, right? But you want to think about, yeah, what if it doesn't go well? You know, like in an emergency, that's why so many people are not as good as dealing with emergencies as the trained professionals, because they plan for it and they practice the failures, they practice the emergencies. Yeah. So practice that in your mind too.
Well, and all of this is bringing, I feel like all of a sudden my brain is just like on fire here, because my old way of thinking was I never planned for the failure because I had my loop. I had my habit loop, right? It's like, oh, well, if it doesn't go to plan, I'm just going to throw the day out and I'm going to eat like garbage and I'll start again anew. Like that was the plan.
Right. Yeah.
I had no need to think about that because in the back of my brain, subconsciously, that was the plan. I can always go back to food. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's no way to step away from it unless you're training yourself to do this, to step away from it and have a different plan in place ready.
Oh, and that's why this is so hard, because that is a lot of mental work. Right. To actually take a moment and go, okay, here's the plan. If it doesn't go as I am envisioning, I'm going to do these things. If it does go, then I'm going to do these things. And then you're mm-hmm. also holding those thoughts in your brain differently than holding that old habit loop, because I don't have to hold that. That's just ingrained in my DNA at this point.
Yeah, that's the easy way. It's on autopilot. However, you know what also is very draining mentally is I hate myself. I don't like the way I look. I feel ugly. I'm not going to go out today. I don't know what to wear. That is draining too.
It is. Well, and especially when you say it like that, because I can think back to the days that were really heavy like that. And for me, the work is the same. It feels different because I'm not used to doing that dual thinking, right? That dual planning. But the work is the same as the old. It just feels different. But really they are the same. And that feeling of difference is that, right? That's what I've come to understand. That is what change feels like. That feeling of like, this just feels like, yeah, it does feel like that because this is new.
But it's the new.
Level, yeah, right. But the level of work is actually the same. When my brain is trying to talk me out of doing that new work, that's how I know that like, oh no, this is change. because I'm just swapping one piece of work for the other. I'm not taking on anymore. It just feels like it. But that's my old brain trying to keep me in my old habits because that was comfortable. I knew that. I understood that. That made sense. This is a safe place, even though it's actually detrimental to my health. It tends to be a little bit safer in the short term for my mental stability. But in the long term, it absolutely is not. It does more damage than good. But it's so hard to break because that's
ingrained.
It's ingrained.
Yeah. And the feeling of feeling uncomfortable and icky is not nice, but you can get used to it. And you can embrace it and you can say, okay, I know I'm doing something right because this feels really hard. This is really hard. And embrace that feeling and embrace the challenge because it is a challenging journey.
Oh my gosh. I was just talking to somebody about this the other night, actually in Berry Nation. We were having a conversation about this all or nothing thinking, this black and white thinking. And I had expressed to somebody that, you know, I think a key for my success, and I'm only 2.5 years post-op, but I really have had to let go of that black and white thinking. And I have had to make gray my new favorite color because, right? Like I have to combine the two because I have to live in this world where everything does not fall apart when things don't go to plan, and that failure is not necessarily failure. It's feedback, right? So I've had to really shed that all or nothing thinking and get comfortable with that uncomfortable feeling of the gray area. But it's in that gray area that I can do this mindset work that moves me closer in the direction of my goal than not. But that is a real difficult place to be for people who are not used to that.
It is. And as you grow, you hit other milestones that also feel more difficult. And you think, you know, isn't this going to get easier? No, it's not.
Somebody the other day too. I was like, yeah, no, this isn't, I can tell this isn't getting any easier. I had the privilege of talking to somebody who was 11 and 15 years post-op. Right. But we were struggling through the same thing. And I just remember looking at these women and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you're telling me that I'm going to keep struggling with this, you know, 11, 15 years out. And they said, mm-hmm. But the flip side is that you're happy, you're healthy, you're this, you're that, you know, all of these things. And it was like, okay, so what you're telling me is this is the price yeah. of this health, the price of this different life is these experiences. It is learning to do this mindset work. It is doing this work instead of the work that I was doing before.
Yes.
Right. And definitely. It's just like, oh, okay. So that is the work of weight loss surgery. It's this.
It's challenging. And don't forget, if you hadn't had weight loss surgery, you'd be having other challenges, right? I know I may have been in a wheelchair. I may have been going to the doctor twice a week for my blood work and for diabetes. That's challenging too. So either way, we're all challenged. Yes. I'd rather have this challenge and stay healthy, you know, and just keep growing as a person.
Yes. Oh, 1,000%. Right. There's that quote that always floats around our community. That's really, it comes down to, you have to choose your hard. You're not going to avoid the hard work, but very rarely in life do we get the opportunity to choose that hard work that we want to do. And you and I are aligned in that. I would much rather choose this work than the hard work that was waiting for me at 326 pounds. There's no way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think we've kind of already answered this question, but why is it so important to do this work? Why is it important to try to reframe our mindset when things don't go right?
Well, I think the shift that happens when things do go wrong, that shift has to be self-love, first of all, and the positivity that you have to keep for yourself. You want to make sure, first of all, that it's not toxic positivity. So I did want to get that spoken about first. So toxic positivity is when you keep saying to yourself, like, okay, only good things, only good vibes, you know, I can do this, I can hustle harder. There's got to be a silver lining to this. Don't frame it like that, because that's going to feel toxic after a while. You have to acknowledge and feel the feels. You have to acknowledge your emotions first, right? And say it's okay that this is hard. It's okay to rest and regroup and work through your plan. But you see, self-love is not a reward for good behavior. I'll say that just one more time. Self-love is not a reward for good behavior. Self-love should be unconditional. So you should show yourself love even when things go wrong. So okay. When you...
What? I mean, I have never heard that before, but oh my God, that is exactly how I used to think, that I could only be a good person if things were going well.
Yes. Well, self-love is unconditional. Any circumstance, when the rain is coming down or the sleet, not just the sunshine. So if anything, you have to have a lot more love for yourself when things go wrong. So you have to learn how to really love yourself first. That's an important aspect. But you see, when things do go wrong and you turn it around into something positive, it frees you to move forward, right? So you can't blame yourself. Blaming is a form of communication that blocks compassion. So you want to have compassion for yourself in order to heal and move forward. Using that compassion and self-love, you can then move forward from whatever it is that has gone wrong that day. And you've got to pivot, just like we all pivoted in COVID. We have to pivot those thoughts, pivot those emotions, feel them, but then say, okay, what's my plan? What's my worst case scenario plan that I had in mind? Okay, what can I do to move forward from this point? And you don't have to wait for tomorrow. You don't have to say, okay, the day's done. I'm going to just have some ice cream and we'll start again tomorrow. No, you don't have to do that. Self-love says you take a breath and then you make the decision that you're going to start over. And you can count from 3, 2, 1. You've just started over right there. And you start your journey over. 3:15 on a Saturday afternoon, 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, you can start your whole journey right there and then and move forward. You know, I think it's important to really embrace self-love first. And that self-love will carry you to a more positive place. And then you use the tools. And the tools are things like the plan. So you can have what I call like a self-love toolkit ready. What is that? That's going to be maybe 3 things that you're going to do to pivot yourself out of this situation of negative thinking. You have your plan in place, but unless you can leave those emotions behind, you're not going to get to that plan. Mm-hmm. So is your first step to breathe. For me, my first step is actually to immediately change my environment. If that means going into a different room, do that. If it means going out for some fresh air, take a few breaths and re-visualize what it is that you're wanting. You didn't get what you wanted, but you know it's still out there. How do you know? You feel it, right? You feel it in your stomach. That's what you feel every time you wake up, that there's that better life out there for you, that better health, that better body, that better mind. That's God or your creator speaking to you. So you need to get into another quiet place to listen to that voice again and take a few breaths, revisualize. And then the last step should be starting that plan again. What is the plan for repairing it? Is it a glass of water with lemon juice to kind of reset everything? Is it calling your therapist? Is it going to the doctor? Is it checking your blood work because something feels wrong? Mm-hmm. Whatever that next plan is to help you on your journey, you need to make that action plan happen and forgive yourself for anything that came before. Whether it was a piece of cake, an ice cream, a cookie, maybe it was yelling at your kids, because that was what was the trigger.
Yeah.
Just forgive yourself. It's okay. We're not meant to be perfect. The day is not meant to be perfect. Because if it was, we would never grow as people. And we're here to grow, to reach our potential, so that we can help each other. So that we can help each other. And we think, oh, we're doing this all for ourselves. No, we're doing this so we can get to a place we're supposed to be for our destiny, so we can help someone else. Yeah. So that person is waiting for you. That person is waiting for you. It could be a word. It could be a friend. It could be a connection. It could be a glance that changes their life. It could be a smile. But whatever it is in that moment, you have to get to that place so you can affect that other person's life positively. And you have to be in that place yourself. So keep on going with your journey with these tools. Forgive yourself, love yourself, you know, do not do the blaming game, and then have your plan, your three-step plan, and get back on board with your journey.
I feel like you could write an entire book on that last like, 2 minutes. There's so many powerful things there. And it's so fun. This conversation was meant to happen, Suzanne, because for the past couple of weeks, after retreat, I had a really difficult time with my mental state, with just everything. Everything just got very, very heavy. And I had to practice self-love. I had to reach out for help. I had to do all of these things that I just don't like to do. I'm not comfortable doing, right? They weren't things that I had really ever done in the past, but I really kind of finally came to this place, and it's like, okay, this is the one thing that I have not done ever before when I have been in this situation. And I really did have to sit with my feelings. I had to acknowledge that things did not go well. I had to think about why things did not go well or why things were going off. And I really did have to make a plan. And very much like what you said, I had to come up with okay, I need to try this again, or I need to approach this a different way. And if things go well, this is the next step. If things don't go well, these are the next steps.
Yeah. But
I really had to just sit with this question for myself and go, why am I doing this? Mm. What is the point of this bigger work when it comes even like to the bariatric community, to what we're doing with Bari Nation, and just to myself as a human, like, what is the point? And the only thing that I could continually to come back to when I was taking these quiet moments to myself was that I am born to serve.
Yeah.
There's no other truth that lies beneath that. And I can't explain it to anybody, because there is no explanation besides this is where I am the happiest.
Yeah.
This is where I find contentment. This is where I find value for myself, is when I can serve. Right. And it just sat and it never came back up again. And in that moment, I just realized that's probably what a lot of us are called to do. We just don't know it. And right. And it's hard to share our story because it's so personal, and we have to acknowledge that it has not been perfect and there's bumps along the way and all of these things. But I think for a lot of us, that's one of those missing pieces, is that our why at the end of our day, or who we are at our core, is to serve others.
Yeah.
And when we have been on such a transformative journey, as many of us have been in the bariatric community, we kind of get to the other side of this very difficult journey and we go, oh my God, I made it. Mm-hmm. And that means that other people can too.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we find ourselves looking around going, oh my gosh, who else needs help? Right. Because right. I think I figured out a piece of it, and we're so drawn to help others. But a part of that journey is also realizing that when you're called to serve, when you're called to help, you also have to be filling your own cup and serving yourself at the same time. You have to. And for so many of us, right, we've been people pleasers, or we've been putting ourselves in front of everybody else. And then all of a sudden you get to this realization of, oh, I can't keep doing that because now I will be on empty. And then I'm not serving my purpose, which is to help others.
Yeah. And you have to be honest as well and say, you know, I need to love myself first. I need to take time for myself and sit down with my feelings. And of course, you have to learn to say no, because the no is eventually going to lead to the energy that allows you to say yes.
Yeah.
And it's so important to be okay with this. Be okay with saying, I can't make that. I can't do that. I can't commit to that. And work on loving yourself through these feelings that we have. But that expectation of maybe not knowing how you were going to feel after retreat, like thinking that through.
Oh, yeah.
What is the worst case scenario? But we still all want the best case scenario.
Yeah,
but you find out that when you do think the worst case scenario is through, that it's still going to be okay. And then you can get excited about the best case scenario.
Yeah, that is exactly. I was not prepared for all of the good that came from retreat and then all of the other feelings and emotions that came up with it, you know, and afterwards. It was just it was a really big roller coaster for me. And I never in a million years thought of a worst case scenario for retreat. And I don't even think that I thought of a best case scenario. And in a lot of ways that I was not serving myself well, and which is why this conversation is so important, because if we are not thinking that way in a lot of things in life, we will be thrown off guard when things don't go to plan. Right. So
yes.
It's so important to go into a lot of these bigger or even smaller, you know, situations, just realizing or recognizing that it's going to go one of two ways. And the more thought that I can put towards those two scenarios, the better prepared I'm going to be to move through them, no matter what comes my way.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Because a lot of people think, well, you know, don't be negative. Don't think that it's not going to work out. But that's not what you're doing. You're just thinking the scenario through so you can be prepared to grow from the experience if it goes that way. But we all know that we want that positive outcome.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to put our intention behind. Right. Our intention and our drive is going to be behind the positive one. But we're going to know that, hey, worst case scenario, this is going to happen. And then I'm going to do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And then you've got this power.
Yeah.
You have the power, because then nothing is failure.
No.
Because it can't. There's no possibility for it to come in because you've already thought of the solution.
Yes. Yes. Right. And I understand that now. It took me 2.5 years to get there. Right. It took me a lot of conversations and a lot of practice and, you know, just a lot of learning, but the reward for that work, the reward for this work of weight loss surgery is that you can move through all of the things that life throws your way at a bit of a quicker clip.
Yeah.
And right. And I'm finding that I can more quickly bounce back from disappointment or setback or feedback that comes my way. And I can shift and I can pivot. And the more that I remain in this neutral or positive headspace, the more that I can accomplish and the better that I can serve people and the more time I'm actually realizing I'm getting for myself, which is weird.
Yes. Yes.
It's weird. Right. But it's like, oh my God, by doing this work, I'm actually recouping some time that I would have been spending in a negative headspace that wasn't getting me anywhere. It was just spinning my wheels. Right. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then with that extra space and room, imagine all the ideas that come into your head. Imagine the opportunities that are allowed to flow in. Because remember, it's all frequency and it's all vibration and energy. So without that space, something new can't come into your life, that abundance. You want that abundance flowing through you, right?
Yes.
And you allow that to come in because you have the space. You have the ability to deal with the good and the bad.
I always say this, that is the number one thing that blows me away about my weight loss surgery experience. I cannot believe the amount of capacity I have now for other things.
Yes.
Right. My weight was taking up so much space in my brain, in my soul, right? It was physically keeping things down. And when that weight started to release and come off my frame, I mean, it was just like I had stepped into or out of the twilight zone because I couldn't figure out how I had so much free time. It was like,
that's right.
I don't get this. Like, this makes no sense at all. But, you know, know that, but with that free time, with that capacity, we have the work now to do this type of work, right? To do this mindset work, to do this thought, thinking around our emotions and our planning and, you know, and just thinking about our futures and thinking about how we interpret and how we deal with things in the moment. And really, like you said, stepping into that power of going, okay, things did not go to plan. What am I going to do about it? How am I going to practice self-love? How am I going to commit to starting fresh right here in the moment instead of tomorrow or next week or next month
or after the holidays
or after the holidays, right?
And you have to be honest with yourself. Like, if it is about the scale, and you have to be honest, how did I get here? Have you done everything, the water, the protein first, all of that stuff? Be honest with yourself. And if you haven't been honest with yourself, that's okay. You start right now.
Yes, it's true. It goes back to that game plan. What was the worst case scenario? What things led to this current scenario? What can I do to not meet this scenario again? Oh, I can do these three things. Awesome. Oh, that's my plan. I'm going to implement it right now.
That's right. Yeah.
What an instant shift. Instead of living in this negative, down, dark headspace, I can acknowledge that, things are not well. Okay. Yeah. What's my plan? Exactly. I'm starting over now. I mean, it just...
And it flows. And it's really important to acknowledge the negative, because you see, if you don't give it power, and then you repeat it because it comes back knocking on your door. Hello, I'm back again. And you're like, why do these same things keep happening?
Right?
You have to be honest, acknowledge them, and then move forward, because that's how you're going to break that habit, break that plan, and break the scenario happening again, you know?
Yes.
And like you say, it can be very, very small events, and it can be weight related. But remember, those small events are little messages from angels. There's something really deep, long history behind these small events that make you trigger, like burning the coffee, you know, it brings up something much deeper. So don't ignore those little events because they can actually be very important. Those things, little things that go wrong, you know, listen. And then also listen, obviously, to the big things, but know that you can do it. You have the power in you to do this. Every day when we wake up, you can feel it in your stomach. You can feel it, that there's that better life out there, that better health, that better day. But it's also that better hour, that better minute, and that better second. It starts right here.
Every second is an opportunity for us to make a choice that aligns to our bariatric goals or to our life goals. Really, every second matters if we choose to value it.
Exactly. Yeah. And remember, when you value something, you do give it power, but that power is a vibration and it comes right back to you. You can use that power and do good for yourself.
Oh my God. This is going to be one of those episodes that I think I'm going to put in my ears as I'm sleeping at night so I can fully absorb all of the learning.
Oh gosh. I hope it's helping. I hope it's helping somebody.
It is helping a lot of people, because this is something that I'm just going to say it, we all struggle with. This isn't necessarily a bariatric struggle. This is just a human struggle. But when we add that complex layer of our bariatric experience on top of life, we need this work. We need this message. We need this learning now more than ever. Because as we figure out these little things along the way, we can practice them and incorporate them into our daily practice. And pretty soon it's benefiting every facet of our life, not just the bariatric facet, right? We become a better teacher, mom, auntie, dad, uncle, iron worker. We're like, it bleeds into all of those facets of our life. And only then can we really become that person that we always know deep down inside, like what you said, right? That little feeling every morning that we wake up going, nope, this is who I'm supposed to be. It helps us access that person. And the more that we can become that person, the more valuable we are to ourselves and to the world. That's facts. That's just fact. That's how this life works. At least I think so. I'm sticking with that until I learn otherwise. So Suzanne, before we wrap up our conversation, I am very excited to let people know that you are joining Berry Nation as an expert, and you are going to be teaching a class that's very specific to this kind of topic, but you are focusing on how we remain positive when the scale doesn't move. That's the class that you're teaching in Berry Nation. So will you give us a little tour, a little taste of what that class will be all about?
Yeah. So I definitely encourage everybody to sign up. If you're in Berry Nation, you want to go and look for the title, How to Stay Positive When the Scale Won't Move. And what I do is, I'm not cheerleading here, right? I am going to be showing you actual tools that you can use each time you step on the scale, and maybe it goes up or maybe it doesn't move. And it's a step-by-step course on what to do with your mindset, tools you can use, visualizations, and plans that you can follow to keep everything positive and to move forward. But I also explain why stalls happen, throughout your journey, what they're all about, and how to break those stalls. Because ultimately, your mindset is not going to break the stall if you're doing something physically wrong. So we talk about the physical as well, and why these stalls happen, how to ignite something in your body for you to start losing weight again. But all through that process, I teach you how to stay positive so you don't fall off and derail your journey. And I show in slides exactly, you know, what steps to take and multiple tools so that a visual learner can do it, more logical learner can do it. Whatever type of person you are, you can pick from a couple of these different tools that are going to work for you to stay positive.
I am so excited for this course to be offered in Berry Nation. It is going to be so powerful for so many people. And what we always appreciate about you, again, the multiple modalities of learning, the ability for anyone to kind of access it no matter where they are in their journey, and that acknowledgement of it's not always positive, right? That we need to, that toxic positivity, right? Yeah. There's a big difference between acknowledging reality and being positive, and then that toxic side of things. And I know that your course is really going to break it down so that we are really truly focusing on that neutral or that positive mindset and not that toxic side of things.
That's right. Yeah. And if people come to the live class, they can ask their questions, come with your questions, and we can, you know, have a really nice exchange at the end of the course, because, you know, it's really important that you may have a question or a scenario that's going to help somebody else in the class. So I look forward to meeting anybody who's going to sign up and come to the course.
We're so excited. And one of the things that we love about Berry Nation is that not only do you have the opportunity to take the course live with yourself, and like you said, ask your questions in real time and interact with people who are thinking and, you know, looking for the exact same information that you are, but your course also lives in our on-demand video library. So members can access it at any time. So if you're like me and you want to watch things multiple times and take notes and then go to the live version and revisit your learning, you have the ability to do that in Berry Nation. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's so great. And other people's schedules may not fit the live.
Yep.
And so you still will have access, definitely.
Yep, exactly. Oh, so excited for that course. And it's coming up this month in December. And you offer a very robust online digital experience outside of Berry Nation too.
Yes, I do. So Gastric Girl is a digital course company that has two main courses. Weigh Your Options is the first one, and that is for pre-bariatric people who are thinking, is surgery right for me? And I go through all of the different options, but also what to expect from a patient's point of view. Because remember, when you go to the surgeon, you know, with all due respect, they are trying to sell you the surgery.
Yes.
So it's like, what questions should you ask the surgeon? You know, and I go through all the different questions. If you're having trouble getting approval for your surgery, I actually show you how to do the appeal with the insurance company. And I go through all the different surgery options. And then I show you that maybe surgery isn't right for you at this time. So I'm not trying to convince anybody to have a VSG. I'm just showing you, hey, here are all the options. And then that helps you decide. And then my other course is Reborn. So Reborn is for post-bariatric patients who want to create that future self, that ideal person that they've always dreamed about, but it's not in the future. I teach you how to create that person now and live in that power now. And I talk them through the steps and show them the actions. And we break away from some of those old habits that keep us back. And so Reborn's a really exciting course to kind of like take your bariatric journey and just supercharge it.
That is exactly what I was thinking in my brain as you were describing it, right? It's how to identify who you really want to be at your core and then the tools to really make that person happen.
Yes, yes. And we play a little bit about time. We play with time travel, actually, because we convince the brain of some really interesting things. So it's quite an eye-opening course. It's fun.
Oh, and where can they find more information about your courses or about you?
Okay, so the two best places, the first one, follow me on Instagram @ One Gastric Girl. That's the number one gastric girl. And then my website is www.gastric-girl.com. Gastric-girl.com. And on my website, you'll have the wait lists for the two courses. My one-on-one coaching is fully booked right now through March. So you will not see that available, but there is a wait list. And then best thing about my website is that it has so many free resources, a free vitamin guide, ideas on what to do for food, lunch ideas, because a lot of us get to lunch and don't know what to eat. You know, so I've got lots of different workbooks, a planner. So you have lots of resources on my website as well.
You are a phenomenal resource for our community. And I know that you respond to direct messages. You love to engage with people. If you are listening or you're watching this episode and you just know that Suzanne is a person that will help you along your journey, absolutely reach out to her, access those resources, or become a member of Bari Nation, get to know Suzanne on a little bit more of a personal level, and then sky's the limit. I mean, just in this conversation, and we've had many conversations at this point, but I just, every time I talk with you, I leave with such new, profound information that I can use immediately to help me become a better person, a better version of myself. So you're just amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. This was an amazing conversation, as always.
Thank you, April. And to everybody out there listening, you're here because you can do it and you are going to do it. Believe me. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening and watching. We have all kinds of resources as well on our website and on Instagram. The one thing that I would like to let you guys know is we still have those shout out Sundays. Every Sunday, we just celebrate the stories of members of our community. It's not a paid promotion. It isn't anything to do with anything. It's literally just you saying, I'm proud of my journey and I want to share it with other people. You can head to our website or the link in our bio and complete the shout out Sunday form where you answer a few questions and upload a picture of yourself, and we will shout you out on all of our social media channels. If Jason was here, he would tell you how much we appreciate it when you like, review, and subscribe to our podcast, either on your favorite podcast player app or on our YouTube channel. We are adorable humans and we are very animated when we have these conversations. So if your learning modality is you would prefer to watch rather than listen, definitely head to YouTube, search Bari Nation, and then subscribe, and you will be first to know when all of the new episodes drop. And if Jason was here, he would also say, You've got this and we've got you, which is always true. Thank you again, Suzanne, for joining us. We'll see you guys on the gram. Bye, friend.
Bye.